First of all, we want to say how glad we are to have our visitors here tonight. If you're from a visiting congregation and you've taken your Saturday night to come study God's Word, we are so thankful for you being here. If you are a regular member here and you've taken the time to come to this meeting, as the elders have set up the time to do and come study God's Word, that's a huge encouragement for me, and I know it is for all of us here. If we have those from the community who are visiting, maybe this is your first time, we want to say welcome and say how glad we are that you're here. And if there's anything we can do to help you while you're here, we want to do that. We're trying to study God's Word and go to heaven. And we would pray that you would help us, and we will do our best to help you serve God. I want to say we are so appreciative for the hospitality that's been shown to us, and I mean that very much so. The Richters and the Boyds have been very good to us, and we'll say more about that at the end of the meeting. And finally, I want to say how much I appreciate the song leaders for picking such songs that goes really well along with our lesson. Thank you for that. And for all those who have led prayers and all the men who have took part, I appreciate you doing that. It was very encouraging. What we've been talking about for the last night is having a heart like his. David was a man after God's own heart. There are many in the Bible who tried to be Christ-like. And that's really what our goal and ambition in life is having a heart like his. You know, yesterday night we talked about one of Jesus' parables in that if we can see our life as an opportunity, the greatest opportunity, in fact, the opportunity of truly an eternity, we can begin to have a heart like his because we don't miss the important things we need to do in life. And we begin to have a life and we begin to have Jesus living within us, as Paul tells us. But there are certain qualities that a Christian has. And one of those, as we see in Scripture, is called modesty. Modesty is also, I believe, a good definition for modesty would be what the Apostle Paul zeroed in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. To think about, to the point that we affect our Christian life, the word pure. Pure. This kind of a small word that we sometimes let slip by is purity. What is purity? What does that mean? But the fact is, a Christian, whether male or female, we have a responsibility toward one another to live a pure life. A lifestyle that doesn't cause others to stumble, but a lifestyle that in fact, instead of draws others to us for the wrong reason, draws us to them because we have Christ living in us. Galatians 2 and verse 20. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to challenge you tonight to think about this. Is my heart the type of heart that is more concerned about purity and modesty and others than is more concerned about myself? And that's going to be a tough question. But I believe what we can do tonight is we can look at two very simple points, and I'll try to stay out from in front of the PowerPoint. I like to walk around a lot. I'm sorry. Two very simple points that really will help us to see and question, do I have a heart like his? The first point is, what is my attitude? And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that if we have this right, then this and our other appearances will be taken care of. So most people say, well, why do you even preach the second point? Well, because there's a lot of issues today with the clothes we wear, the appearances we give other people. And I'd like to ask you tonight to think about that. What do my clothes say about me? What do my appearances say to others about me? Am I truly a modest person? So, considering that responsibility we have to both ourselves and others, I'd like you to consider these things. And before we have this lesson, I'd like to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together tonight to study your Word. Lord, we realize that you have given us such a special calling that we could be a peculiar priesthood, that we could be a special people for you. And we pray tonight, Heavenly Father, as we look to your Word, that we would do so with an open and honest heart, that we would truly question our lives and ask ourselves tough questions, such as, am I truly living a modest and a pure life? And if, Heavenly Father, we find ourselves to not be living this way, help us to have the courage and the will to change. Because we want to go to heaven more than anything else, and we want everyone that we can to come with us. So, Heavenly Father, please be with us tonight. That only the things that we study would be from your Word, not our own opinions, but from your Word. And help us to do all things in a well-pleasing manner to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What I want to talk about tonight, first of all, and again, two simple points. First of all, is our attitude. Now, somebody who would have a heart like Christ, who better to think about than the Apostle Peter? Because for all the shortcomings that the Apostle Peter had, he spent a lot of time with Jesus. Okay? And as we read in quite a few of his writings, he begins to explain to us that modesty or purity starts here, in the heart. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, beginning in verse 4, I'd like for you to turn over there with me. And we're going to draw 3 points from this reading here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. If you will, read with me 1 Peter 3 and beginning in verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, within the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, this is specifically addressed to women. But I think one thing we miss sometimes is that Peter has a word up here at the very beginning, wives likewise. You know, women and men have a responsibility to be pure before one another. And I want this lesson to address both sides of that and to hopefully, as God's Word tells us, to pierce our heart, Hebrews tells us, to ask ourselves these difficult questions. So, modesty starts in the heart. Now, Peter says a lot of very interesting things in this text, and I want you to just notice this and ask yourself this question. When I consider what I'm going to wear, or when I consider what lifestyle choices I'm going to make, where do those decisions come from? According to Peter, it should be from the heart. Now, consider this. Modesty highlights internal character. Who you are on the inside will affect the decisions that you make. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us that out of the heart flow the springs of life, the issues of life. Every decision you make will be based upon who you are here. And a lot of times, maybe we don't focus on that enough. He says, interestingly enough, in this passage, as I reveal this picture, that, and it's kind of strange to some today, and it may be strange to you, but challenge yourself that your adorning or what makes you beautiful should be here. In our society today, litmus test, I Googled the word beautiful. And this was the first thing that came up. And, you know, my wife beats her all day long, so forget that. But if this is the first thing that comes up in our society, we think that beauty means outward beauty. That's what means beauty to us. But according to Peter, what makes somebody beautiful should be invisible, hidden. Your heart is what makes you beautiful. It is hidden beauty. How many of us are thinking about that tonight? You know, we worry so much about the way we fix our hair, and some of us don't have as much to fix anymore. We worry so much about the clothes that we wear. And as we're going to see later on in our lesson, I don't think there's anything wrong with caring about our appearance. But where's our heart? Are we more concerned with our heart first? Because truly what makes someone beautiful in the eyes of God is not visible but invisible. It's our heart. You know, we find scriptures like Psalm 119 and verse 11. Would you turn over there with me, please? Psalm 119 and verse 11. Notice what David writes here. Thank you very much for turning with me. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Most of us are familiar with this passage. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I what? That I may not sin against you. See, that's what we're talking about tonight. God's Word touches our heart. It impacts our life. It shapes us. And then when we decide what our appearance is going to be like, when we decide what our adornment is going to be, the Bible's already made our decision for us. To be pure people. Man or woman. Young or old. But the hidden person is what is truly God is looking for. We continue to read in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 that it is an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You know what's amazing to me, and it may be amazing to you, is Have you ever been over to someone's house who was like, you know, in their 60s or 70s and they pulled out an old photo album for you and they showed you their old wedding pictures and you looked at it and you were like, that used to be in style. I've never seen people dress like that before. And then, of course, their styles come back into style. And that's how fashions are. It changes with every year. But a lot of times when we think about beauty, we think of it as clothes. Or we have sayings like, that's so yesterday. Or sometimes we even think of beauty as something that's young or physically attractive. But I want you to challenge yourself with a few things, especially what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I want to challenge yourself with this thought. The most beautiful person in here is not the youngest. It is not the one with the smoothest skin or with the most beautiful hair or even wearing the finest garments. Paul says that what makes someone strong, spiritually beautiful, is that every single day we grow and we become more like Christ. And that's how we become beautiful in the eyes of God. Because it's an inward character. And I'd like to challenge you with this. I believe that the Bible teaches that people grow beautiful backwards. I know a lot of a little bit older women than me came up to me after I preached this lesson one time and said, I've never really thought about that. Said, you know, I've always thought to myself that, you know, the older I got, the worse looking I got. But you know what? In God's eyes, that's not true at all. The more years we have to study God's Word and the more time that we have to focus our hearts and our minds on Him, we're renewed. We're more steadfast. That is what makes someone beautiful. Challenge yourself with that, young man. When you look at a young lady and you decide who you're going to date, what are you going to base your decision on? Is it going to be because she has the nicest dress or the nicest hair? Or is it going to be because she is a beautiful woman on the inside? That's what God says. And I hope and pray we all challenge ourselves with that question. Modesty, finally, is so precious in the sight of God. When you think about things that are precious, we read in the Bible a very interesting instance here of what people thought was precious. And so, would you turn to Mark chapter 14 and verse 3? Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. What do you think of as precious? A lot of people would probably say, well, money, because I never really have enough, and it doesn't seem like I ever will. Some people may say fine jewels and rubies and diamonds and pearls. And in the first century, the people's thoughts were not really a lot different than today. Mark 14 and verse 3, you remember the anointing at Bethany. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, and as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? It might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her. In their eyes, this flask, this perfume was so precious because it could have brought a lot of money. But it's so interesting in God's Word that in order for something to be precious to Him, that something would be in this text. It would be modesty. A person who has hidden God's Word in their heart. A person who has turned their life over to Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, some of us think of costly garments as precious to God. But I want you to consider this. To know who is precious to God, you would have to read God's Word. And I want you to notice the company that God puts modest women in this instance in. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. Modesty is an internal character because, young ladies, when you go back through the Bible and you read about women of faith like Sarah, Rahab who turned her life around, and you consider that you're in the company of women like that, That inspires me to try to help you and encourage you to be a woman who cares more about her heart than what she wears. Men, when you consider yourself to be in the company of men in Hebrews chapter 11, like Abraham, Noah, who by faith made decisions in their life, don't you want to be in that company? Absolutely, because those people are precious to God. Are we those kind of people? Are we concerned more about our purity and our lifestyle than what the world sees as beautiful or precious or fancy or any of those types of things? Modesty starts in the heart, but I want to tell you something else. I think in our life today, when we read scriptures like what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, modesty actually goes the extra mile. And I want you to consider consider this as we turn to Matthew 5, verse 38. Would you turn to Matthew 5, 38? A lot of times when we make decisions in life, and tonight we're talking about appearance and dress, a lot of times we make those decisions and maybe we don't give as much consideration to how other people view us and how other people are looking at us, or maybe the fact that we could be a stumbling block to somebody else, man or woman. So when we read this passage in Matthew 5:38, consider it from this perspective. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, most of you have probably remembered that what this is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. But what the deal was when Jesus in the first century was around, if you were a Jew and a Roman soldier came up to you and said, I need you to carry this for me for a mile, the Jew had to do it. And Jesus says, now look, wait a minute. I know you get upset about having to do those kind of things. But if somebody comes up to you and says that to you, I want you to do another mile. The Jews, I'm sure, were probably thinking to themselves, that's crazy. But is it really? What was Jesus saying there? Jesus was saying, if somebody asks you to do something, do double for them. Now let me throw that back into the idea of modesty. Do we care more about the way people perceive us and the souls of people than we do ourselves? In other words, before I go decide to buy a shirt or a pair of jeans or a dress, or before I decide to go out and maybe get a tattoo or an earring, do I think to myself of all the people that I'm trying to help go to heaven and that if I'm supposed to be doing double for them what I would do for anybody else, what choices will I make? Think about that for a minute as we consider some other passages. Romans chapter 12, would you turn over there please? Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 3, then we'll flip over to verses 16 through 18. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. If I don't think too highly of myself, if I think more of others, I'm going to give careful consideration to the clothes that I wear. If I'm a young man, if I'm considering going out in the front yard and mowing my yard without a shirt on, have I given some thought to the young ladies who might be passing my house and who might be saying, and we're going to go into this later, but I was watching television today, watching a basketball game, and they were doing an Old Spice body spray commercial. Now, why would they do an Old Spice body spray commercial with a man who had no shirt on? And I actually asked some young ladies in Tuscaloosa to answer that question for me because guys without their shirt on are not attractive to me. And they said, Justin, it's because he has abs and pecs and all this stuff that girls find attractive. And I said, well, of course, that makes sense. And when I read passages like this and I think I need to consider others before I think before myself, if I'm a young lady, I think about the way that I dress. I think about how low cut my shirt is. I think about the length of my skirt and ask myself this question. If I care more about that person right there than me, would I truly, truly wear this? Some hard questions. But when we consider what Paul writes in verse 16 and 18, if you're already there, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I know it's easy to get that way. It's easy to say things like, well, I don't think this would cause anybody to go astray. But the fact is, we've got to be way more concerned about others than ourselves. I'd like to read for you one young lady's perspective on selfishness, if you will. She says, I simply don't want to invest the time and effort to find modest clothing. I mean, let's face it, it's not easy to be modest these days. And my wife will totally agree with that. We talk about that all the time, how some young ladies have to go to 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 places that have clothing and they still don't find things that are modest. But anyway, let's go back to what she said. I have to try on 3 times as many pairs of jeans as a girl who isn't concerned after modesty. I might as well go on an archaeological dig. It's that hard to find a stylish, attractive shirt or dress that's modest. She says, not to mention that I have to leave hanging on the rack many things that I think I would look really great on me. However, listen to this. When I grumble and complain or make excuses for immodesty, I'm putting my desires above others and not glorifying Christ. That's pride. I really appreciated her saying that. When you consider what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33, 1 Corinthians 10 and 33. I thought I had that up there, but I didn't. Flip over there with me. 1 Corinthians 10 and 33. It gives us a new perspective on our modesty. 1 Corinthians 10 and 33. Paul says, just as I also please all men in all things. Listen to this. Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Before you put on something, before I dress in a certain way, make sure that your number one reason for doing that is that other people can be saved. So that they will look at God before they look at you. And that is a challenge for us tonight. You consider examples like Peter in John 21 verse 7. And you don't have to turn over there, but one of the most interesting stories to me in the Bible, you remember Jesus was approaching him. And when John, he was about to jump in the water and go swim to Christ. And instead of taking his clothes off, he put a tunic on. Out of respect for Christ. That's kind of the opposite of us today. We head to a swimming pool and instead of putting clothes on, we take clothes off. But I believe Peter considered Jesus more important than himself. We consider other examples. And we realize that selfishness can prevent this. And I'm not trying to be mean, but considering that passage one more time that we just read, Paul says, I don't seek my own profit. Similar to what he said in 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not seek after its own. If we care more about others than ourselves, we're going to think hard and long about the things that we put on our body and then make those decisions. Ultimately, as we've said, when we decide we're going to wear something or adorn ourselves or dress, do we have the love of others in mind? And I believe this is where we finish up the idea of the right attitude. If we do this, I believe our clothes, I believe the way we dress, I believe wearing shirts with innuendo, all those things will be already out the door if it's immodest, because we look at other people with love and we say, I love you way more than I love myself, and I want you to go to heaven. Did we feel that way? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The second greatest commandment. After loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Do we love our neighbor as ourself? What about our appearance? Number 2. I believe that if we have our attitude in the right place and we truly love others more than ourselves, we're going to have the right appearance. But I would like to talk for just a little while tonight about how the appearance that we have can affect others and how we need to be so careful about having the right appearance. And to do that, I'd like to flip over to the book of 1 Timothy, if you will. Please, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 8. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Notice that little term there in the middle there. Likewise, men, if men are going to be spiritual people, if men are going to be righteous people, you know, although men aren't specifically mentioned in the second part of this idea, in this verse, men have to be considerate about what they wear, just like women do. And so consider for yourself a few times in this scripture what it says. Timothy says we need to be concerned about moderation, number one. When we go out and when we dress, we are to be less elaboration, in other words, less elaborate and more moderation. Now, what does that mean? Well, we look in the scripture and we see that he tells the women there not to be with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly clothing. Now, I believe when we look at God's Word, we find that it's not a sinful thing for women to make themselves look pretty. In fact, I believe it speaks to a lot of good things within a marriage relationship. We read in passages like Proverbs 31, 22, where the virtuous woman is described as a beautiful person. And Esther, in Esther 2, verse 12, whenever she was making herself beautiful for the king. But what's the most important thing that we should be concerned about? And I'll ask the young ladies here tonight, how does God see that in relation to the work that we're supposed to be doing for Him? I believe what He teaches here is that it needs to be in the right order. Should you dress nice? Of course. Should you want to wear makeup and wear jewelry and earrings? That's fine. But what does he say should be our number one concern? Moderation. Modest apparel. How many of us consider that when we go out? I think a good definition of moderation would be called self-control. How many of us practice self-control or reasonableness in the things that we do in our life? Because see, I believe the order of this verse is pretty clear. Young ladies, when you go out, or older ladies, the first thing you want somebody to think of when they see you, or talk to you, or spend time with you, the first thing you want them to think is, that is a person of God. That is a person who I know, if I ask her, she could tell me or help me to know Christ better or to get to heaven. And then they begin to see your godly lifestyle. They begin to see the fact that you don't use the same language as the world. That you don't, if you're in college, you don't look over on another person's test. They see you having good character. And then when they see those two things, they, oh, by the way, she's a pretty girl too. If we could just get it in that order, folks, if we could just see it that way, wouldn't we be so much better off? Would we not be more pleasing to God? Would we not have a heart like His? I think we would. I'd ask you to consider secondly, when we dress, and this is a tough question, but in the society that we live, I believe it's a question we should ask. Are we more concerned with propriety or being provocative? There are television shows that you don't have to turn very far to see that highlight a provocative woman, a provocative man, someone who makes sexual relations outside of marriage a common thing. They dress in such a way that they want to appeal to people's carnal nature. But when Timothy writes here, when Paul writes to Timothy here, notice something. And you'll read this with me one more time. That the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety. Now, propriety, what does that mean? We're talking about something that's not geared toward a fleshly desire, but a spiritual desire. A woman of God. She's dressed in such a manner that it doesn't take away from her spiritual life, but it adds to her spiritual life. Question. Have any of you guys ever been to a sports field or a public park, and you saw a young lady there who, amongst a group of young ladies who was not wearing modest apparel, she was wearing modest apparel. She was wearing shorts that weren't too short, that were down to her knee or somewhere close to there. You saw a young lady who, instead of wearing, you know, a sleeveless shirt or a cut-off shirt, she was wearing a full shirt. And you looked at her and you said, I'm so appreciative for that person. I believe that woman is a woman of faith. Our young ladies, have you ever been in a crowd or you spent some time with some young man and you saw a young man who, you know, instead of being more concerned with the way he looks outwardly, that you spoke to him and you talked to him and you figured out that he was a person of God? That's what propriety is all about. Caring more about our inner person than attracting others sexually or from a carnal nature. Consider this. There's two different types of women that I believe are classified in Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 31. Flip over there with me, please. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Young ladies, I would like to encourage you tonight to ask yourself this question. What if I could define myself into one of these two groups, where would I be? And all the women in here, if I could put myself in a group, where would I be? Look at the lady who's described in Proverbs 7 and verse 10. And there a woman met him with the attire, the dress of a harlot. We don't have to guess what he's talking about here. We know the way people, or a harlot, or someone who's more concerned about sexual relations than anything else, and wants, we know what that is. But keep reading. And a crafty heart, loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the square. And it says, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with and the word there means a shameless face. A face that says, I have done this before. I have made myself available to men before. And I want to make myself available to you. I'm not being unkind. I'm being serious. Please. Continue to read this. I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen, and I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. That might describe you tonight. Maybe you're struggling with sexual sin, and I want to encourage you to consider deeply where you are in your life. But I also want you to compare with the lady who's described in Proverbs chapter 31. Would you turn over there with me, please? Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, beginning reading in verse 25 with me, please. It says that strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Continue down to verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, tonight, if you are not that woman, please consider changing. Young man, when you're looking for someone, make that the one you look for. What an awesome thought to know that God wants women to be this way. Women that will help us as men go to heaven and help us to avoid sin and make us better spiritually. Women who are more concerned with that than provocative dress outside of the marriage. What a wonderful thought. I consider this again. Look at God first when you talk to me, when you see me, when you spend time with me. I want you to know that I belong to God first. And then, I want you to know that I live a godly lifestyle. I want to isolate myself from the world. I want to be a spiritual person. And finally, if you look at my clothes and you appreciate the way I dress and the fact that I'm physically beautiful, that's great. But I'm not going to draw you to me that way. I want you to know who I am by the fact that I serve God. How many of us have considered that? I'd like to read to you one more thing. And this is from a man's perspective, not a lady's. But when I first read this, it sort of took me back a little bit. But in the world that we live in today, I want every person in here to consider what men go through and their struggle for purity. This young man writes, "Each and every day on campus is a battle." This is a college student. "A battle against my sin, a battle against temptation, a battle against my mind. Every morning I have to cry out to God for mercy, strength, and renewed conviction to flee youthful lust. I know God is faithful to bring me the renewal I need and to prepare me to do war against sin, yet temptation still exists." He goes on to write, "I'm thankful that God has created me to be attracted to women. That's the way it should be. But campus is a loaded minefield. There are girls everywhere, and it's guaranteed that I will pass some attractive young ladies as I walk between classes. To make it through the day unscathed, I either have to be actively engaging my mind and spirit in praying, quoting Scripture, listening to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, or looking at the sidewalk. Many days it takes all four of those things to be safe." He says, the thing that women do not seem to fully grasp, and he says this in a very kind way, but please listen to this, is that the temptation toward lust does not stop. It is continual. It is aggressive. And it does all it can to lead men down to death, as Proverbs writes. And women have a choice to help or deter the goal and purpose of lust. Sometimes when I see a girl provocatively dressed, I'll say to myself, she probably doesn't know that 101 guys are seeing her in their mind and are lusting after her at that moment. But then again, maybe she does. To be honest, and I don't mean this the wrong way, I don't know the truth of why women choose to dress the way they do or why guys dress the way they do if it attracts the opposite sex in a provocative way. He says, all I need to know is that the way she presents herself to the world is bait for my mind to latch onto, and I have to avoid it at all costs. He says, for the most part, the church serves as a sanctuary from the continual barrage of temptation towards sin. However, some of the church's members are not yet free from sin, and there are girls who are ignorant and unaware of men's sinful tendencies, so much so that sometimes when I wait on the Lord's table, I go through an aisle and a woman is dressed immodestly, and it causes me to lose my focus on the Lord's Supper. He said, I must confess that even church can have several things go wrong. And he goes on to write, to the girls who are ignorant, please serve your brother in Christ and have your father or a Christian man screen your wardrobe and ask your father to choose how to better choose holiness over worldliness. He's a man and he understands the way men think. And he says, to the girls who don't follow the pattern of the world, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you a million times over. You are following Scripture's commands and you are helping your brothers in the process. And we are at war spiritually. I commend this young man's fight for holiness. And I want you to know that I echo his gratitude to women who choose to dress modestly. I thank all the women here tonight for that. Would you please continue to do so if you're doing so? But if you're not, please consider this young man's words tonight. Finally, in our appearance, are we conforming or are we transforming? You know, when Paul writes Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think conforming is one of the things that we as human beings have the hardest time not doing because we don't like to stick out. I mean, honestly, nobody wants to be the person in the classroom with the only person wearing a blue shirt and everybody else is wearing a red shirt. We don't like to feel uncomfortable. But I think we need to all realize that we are called to be different. Titus, in one translation, calls it a peculiar people. A special priesthood. God's own people transformed to be like Him. So what I want to leave you with tonight is this idea. And just a few suggestions that have been given to me that maybe I can give to you. Women have said to men in private conversations, these are some of the things that cause women to be tempted. Women have said that men who don't pull their pants up, who wear their pants almost down to the ground, they don't want to see men's underwear. That's not something that a lady would want to see before she's married. In fact, sometimes men who wear holes in their pants and show themselves off to women, women don't want to see that. It causes them to struggle. Women don't want to see men, or rather, men who go shirtless can be a stumbling block to women. Again, why do they put men on TV without shirts on to sell cologne or to sell body spray? Because women are attracted to that. Women have told us that tattoos and earrings send mixed signals more than you realize. I talked to a young lady the other day, and she said, now, I don't want to be ugly and I don't want to mischaracterize anybody. She said there are plenty of men who have got tattoos who were maybe in the Navy and who have, for whatever reason, but she said, whenever I'm looking for a Christian guy and I see somebody who has several earrings or maybe several tattoos, she said, it kind of sends up a red flag to me. It kind of causes me to think, is this guy really concerned about spiritual things? And she wasn't being ugly, she was being serious. I think that's something we should all consider as men, if we are conforming or if we are transforming by the renewing of our mind. Finally, and this has become something popular recently, a lot of stores sell T-shirts with innuendo on them. Dirty words, things that are misapplied to sexual things. How many of us are careful and considerate that we don't wear things like that? And of course, broadcast that we are something that we claim not to be. That we are not conformed, but we are transformed. And I also wanted to turn it around and remind us we're at war. I also wanted to say what some of the men have said to women. And there was a survey done recently, it was back in 2007. But a lot of young men chimed in on the survey. And young ladies, maybe this will give you an opportunity to see what men really think about the way you dress. Because I believe it is that important to God. Some responses that were given. Do guys notice whether a girl dresses modestly or not? 96% said they did. Does bending over so that cleavage is visible down the front of the shirt or dress as a stumbling block? 90% agree. Are shorts that are shorter than mid-thigh immodest? 84% agree. Despite immodesty all around us, girls who choose to dress modestly do make a difference. 92% said yes. It does mean a lot to us. It does mean a lot to men. It does mean a lot to young men. Ladies. And finally, modesty is an important quality for your future wife to have. 95% of men said it was. We are at war spiritually. And I'd like to leave you with this challenge tonight. As we consider who we are, and as we consider ourselves to want to be a person after God's heart, and as we consider ourselves to make godly choices in this life, we don't make our choices based on the way the world perceives things. We don't make our choices based on the way that others will perceive us, but we make the choice based on what God thinks of us. Where does God view us? Do the things that I wear glorify Him? Do they bring His name to others? Do they speak to people about Him? One interesting thing that was said about Abel in Hebrews 11 was that although he died, his faith spoke on far after he was gone. And I'm going to tell you something. The way we dress, the way we show ourselves to others, it will speak to other people way after they leave our presence. And so tonight, I'd like to encourage you to think about that. Do you have a heart like his? Do you have a modest heart? Do you have a heart that's more concerned about others than yourself? If that's the case, I commend you for that, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that. But if that's not the case, and maybe you found yourself to go astray, and maybe you've done some things that you know are not characteristic of Jesus Christ, I'd like to encourage you to think about changing those things and making a dedication to be a person after His heart. If you're not a Christian tonight, I'd like to encourage you to consider who Jesus Christ is, that He is the Son of God, that He died for your sins. He died so that we can have forgiveness when we do wrong. By believing in Him, by making a confession of Him as the true and living Son of God, by repenting of your sins, you may come forward and be baptized this very night for the remission of your sins. It can be forgiven. Or if you went astray and you need the prayers, we would love, of the church here, we'd love to help you. But if there's anything we can help you with tonight, please come forward as we stand and we sing the invitation song.